INC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We might have set a new all-time record for most feedback ever on the Twitch and the fan text. I'm not sure if it set the record on the YouTube, but it was a lot. Now, it came down to the wire. We've been doing this T-Pain giveaway all week long, and we'll continue to do it all week long in the noon o'clock hour. I'm going to throw it to Alec Medford so he can recount the deciding vote. For all intents and purposes, it was essentially a tie. The deciding vote from the person who also won the T-Pain tickets. Alec, take it away.
I pick up the phone for caller number 10. I give him the spiel that I always do for the winner. He's not even excited about the tickets or anything quite yet. All Earl from Dallas tells me is Rambo. And that's exactly how it went down. So, and he made sure before I hung up, after I got all of his info and everything, and he goes, oh yeah, Rambo, and hangs up.
Hey, real quick on that. That's a fantastic story. I did have an Earl give me a happy birthday shout out on Twitter today.
Ooh. Oh.
So if it was that Earl, let me know, because there's some things I want to say.
Okay.
You're the Earl.
So there is the winner. A lot of controversy involved. Some people believe the winner was declared and we did a recount. I mean, look, if we can do it in other things of far more importance, then we can do it here.
What do you mean by that?
As well. Let's say, for safety's sake, the 2000 presidential election. It was announced that one person won, and then it was decided that the other person won. So I'm going to just stick with that.
Hanging chads?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
That's why it's all electronic, which is undefeatable.
We had hanging chads, but instead we had the G-Bag Nation who needed to say, which brought about this actual response. This is the KNC masterpiece, not the G-Bag Nation. They don't get votes on this. And I love that sort of passion. But we're one big happy station, and everybody loves the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
One station under God is what I've always said.
Dear. Indivisible.
Yeah, with all the rest of the things
we
say.
Do we need to get Eric back in here?
Jeez.
Guys, I appreciate the people that have been taking part in Tank Top Tuesday.
It's too long.
I got a couple of texts of people. Somebody said that they now have started wearing tank tops to work because of me. And that they now are enjoying being more comfortable. That's really what we're trying to do is be comfortable humans. That's all we're trying to accomplish at the end of the day. So we're going to stick with that. I do like Lucius's approach on the John Wick, John Rambo thing.
Some people do not believe John Wick is a hero.
Who did John Wick fight for?
Himself.
Who did John Rambo fight for?
America.
John Rambo
and
took out
injustice in the world.
All these things, but John Wick took out our cities here in America. A lot of times. So you got to deal with that. So that's tough.
Okay.
But it was still, dude, that was so fun. So much fun. Kevin, I don't know about this. If we got into this Tyreek Hill thing a couple weeks ago or last week, did you guys discuss it?
We did mention the race last week, but he is very fast.
He is very fast at running. And that's pretty amazing. UFC fighter. Did you talk about this guy? Ben Askren.
But that's okay.
All right. I'm done with this one.
I'm sorry. Ben Askren got two lungs for a double lung transplant.
That's pretty special, too. All right.
He was going to die otherwise.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. My kids, by the way, have gotten into UFC on the PlayStation.
Ooh.
And they're really good at it. Have you seen the four teams of humanoid robots playing soccer against each other?
No.
In China? Devin,
no.
The World Robot Soccer Competition. You saw Booster T1 going up against Vulcan, and it was 4-0 at one point.
Okay.
The humanoid robot can kick, dribble, plan, make decisions, cooperate, and shoot completely autonomously. However, they also suck, and they fell over a couple times, and they had to be carted off the field. So, even in robot soccer, robots were taking dives. Were they programmed to fall and be like, I'm hurt?
Okay. I did not know that's where you're going with this at all, but that is freaking brilliant. And I do want to point out, I'm sure it does hurt, but it's the way they act like they tore their ACL or blew out their Achilles every single time. Like, just give me some sort of moderate injury where you're like, oh, just give me 1 second. Like, just hold up the one finger to somebody. It's like, I just need 1 second. I got kicked in the shin. I'm going to be okay. But they act like they got shot in the leg every time.
I got another text from the 817. I got sent to HR because of Corey's tank top idea. Thanks. Well, I mean, hopefully you like your HR people, you know, and that's always a good thing.
Hey, just don't go into that meeting too cocky and being like, you telling me you don't like this? Yeah. Like, that will be your last. That will be your last HR meeting at that environment.
And then also this story. Norwegian lottery players. Kevin.
I do love the lottery.
You love the lottery.
I really do.
Every time we stop in any state, mm-hmm. Kevin will find the grocery store that has the lottery tickets to scratch off.
I just think it's really fun to see which different states have different games. I think it's California. It's one of the states we go to consistently. So either there or Arizona, they have a Pac-Man scratch-off lottery game.
That's going to be fun.
It is super-duper fun.
Can you cheat the system on it?
No, okay. Unfortunately not. But I like those scratch-offs that are like lower money and that are fun to play. So like with the crossword or the bingo or Pac-Man, even if you lose, you're like, that was okay, use of my $3 or $5.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thousands of lottery players in Norway were mistakenly told last week that they had won more money than they actually did.
No.
Norsk Tipping, of course, state-owned gambling company, on Friday said people who won the Euro jackpot were told they had won millions in incorrect amounts. It's unclear exactly how many people were impacted, but no customers were paid the wrong prizes, the company said in a news release. The mistake stemmed from an error when the winnings in Euros, which the company receives from Germany, were converted to Norwegian kroner. And they were multiplied by 100 man. Instead of divided by 100.
See, and like, that's tough. I've learned more about the won from watching Squid Game than I ever thought I would in my life. Because every time they talk about the money, I was like, okay, I need to know what that is in like monetary terms that I understand.
And that's fine. They were converted.
That sucks.
But then they were multiplied the wrong way. That sucks. So people were told that they won hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to millions of dollars. When they actually did not. Here's the quote from Norsk Tipping CEO, I don't know.
Give it a shot.
Tonje Sagsten. T-O-N-J-E. How would you say that?
Yeah.
Tonje.
Or Tonja.
S-A-G-S-T-U-E-N. Sagsten.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I am terribly sorry that we have disappointed so many. And I understand that people are angry with us. I've received many messages from people who managed to make plans for the holidays, buying an apartment, or renovating before they realized that the amount was wrong. To them...
Hold on. Pause. Did you hear that word? Renovating before they realized the number was wrong. It really feels like the they in that is the winners and not the lottery commission, right? Mm-hmm. Not cool.
To them... Oh my gosh. This is the part. To them... I can only say sorry, but I understand that is a small consolation. So if I was called and told that I'd won hundreds of thousands of dollars, sure. Millions of dollars, $1 million.
Sure.
You want $1 million.
Yeah.
First thing I'm doing, if it's before 9 o'clock, is going to the liquor store and buying whatever expensive, no lower than $1,500. All right.
That's okay.
The first thing I'm doing. And so now you owe me $1,500 is what I'm thinking. Because I've already, that bottle was drank. We had a good time with it. You owe me $1,500. I need to at least pay that. All right. So that needs to be done. But what's the first thing you would buy? Would you go buy that card that you've always wanted?
Yes. No. Alec, you're going to hate me for this, maybe. Oh, I know
you would buy a card that Alec wants.
See, I know it is I should buy the card I want, but what I would really do is buy a preposterously expensive hobby box. And then I'd probably be like, oh, man, I didn't even get it. And Alec will be sitting there, hey, Nimrod, you could have just bought the actual card you wanted. I know I should.
But you like ripping them.
Yeah, absolutely. You like ripping. Absolutely. Ripping. By the way, Dallas Card Show this weekend, you will see a lot of people who do the exact same same thing as I do. Oh, you want this Joe DiMaggio card? You could, or you could buy this old Topps box where maybe you would pull that card.
And you're like, Kevin, what? Every time.
Yes, it does.
What would you do? Would you buy a card? Is that what you would also do? Or is there a Lego set that you love?
Stop
All
it.
Right. Now that you say that, probably the OG Death Star Lego set. That's like a bazillion dollars.
Yeah.
I'd probably, if I could find a sealed box of that, I'd probably get that. I don't know, maybe like a one of one card of one of my favorite wrestlers or something, or favorite Rangers.
That'd now, cool. I want you to imagine that somebody called you and told you you don't have the money to do it anymore.
Is that
what
back to reality?
Do you think that's more unfair than like the people who, for some reason, like the ATM gives them $40,000, or it says all of a sudden you have $100,000 in your account, and they're like, the
better
bank.
Spend it all.
Yeah, see, but
spend it quick before they find out.
You get sent to prison for that. And they're like, the bank screwed me. And I'm like, come on, dude. You knew you did not have $100,000.
You get sent to prison for that?
Yes, it's bank fraud.
How's it bank fraud? They screwed up, not me.
But you knew it was wrong.
I was spending things and not paying attention to my account because I'm not an old man writing my checkbook.
Hey, that's fair. I would clearly have my wife try to take the stand, and she'd be like, I have no idea.
I was kind of curious why I wasn't getting messages about the fees, the overdraft fees. I was curious about it, but I didn't care. I was spending and enjoying life.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we got a lot that we didn't get to today with all the breaking news. So let's talk about another key Rangers injury, plus all of the basketball movings and shakings of the day. Maybe a little hockey, too, next on The Fan.
And here's a line drive base hit out into left field. Vasquez speeding around third. He'll score. The throw comes into third, but late, taking second is Laureano, who does it again. His fourth hit of the night produces another Baltimore run, and it's 8-6 Orioles.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, where, unfortunately, the Rangers lost another extra innings game. They'll get back at it 6:30 pregame, 7:05 first pitch right here on 105.3 The Fan. But we've been so busy today, we didn't even get a chance to mention another thing that Chris Young talked about with G-Bag Nation yesterday. Tyler Mahle will not be back until after the trade deadline.
Which we kind of had that. It's that might be a possibility.
I was worried, yeah.
And the more, you know, more last week with Cody Bradford, the longer we went with
things, yeah,
the more it's likely that we're going to hear something at some point that's not good. And for Mahle, it really stinks because of the type of season, like that Cy Young kind of type season,
sure,
that he could have. And that's going to knock that away from him. But there is a positive.
Yep.
Unfortunately, with that,
are you going to say that he's not going to get to
he's not going to reach his incentive, which may give the Rangers, as Evan Grant said, a little bit of wiggle room?
So it looked like he was going to get all $5 million of his incentives with the way that he was pitching, and that would put the Rangers right up at essentially the ceiling of where they wanted to go to not violate the next level of the tax threshold. It is amazing when you get into this business how much money talk and financial talk there is that, like, you would not have necessarily anticipated when you're like, just watch a damn game.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it doesn't look like he's going to get to that, maybe the Rangers have a little bit of something to play around with if you want them to make a move or whatever. Look, you might be to the point where you're like, I don't think this team should do that.
Okay.
And that's a totally different thing. But
somebody said, should we punt on this season? And I'm not prepared. What I see right now is a team that can't get out of its own way,
sure,
at the plate. But I'm not prepared to say that they just will never find it again. So I can't say, in most seasons, Kevin, I'm going to follow through with the season anyway, just because that's my team.
For sure.
So I'm not going to just jump in and be like, all right, and then be away from it. So that's just not where I am.
Yeah.
But I understand how it feels to start the season. The season hasn't been fun. The back half of it could, and it could be. And then the front half you'll forget about, but we got to wait till then.
Now, okay. So you bring up a couple of different good points as you usually do. It is only the start of the month. The trade deadline isn't till July 31st. So you have plenty of time, and believe it or not, you don't get as much of a premium as like you might think if you made the trade now as opposed to at the end of the month.
I will say, though, Kevin, it does feel like when you're a buyer, people know in the middle of the season they're holding it over your... No one used to say
sure.
that. You're stuck between a rock and a hard place because people are holding you over a barrel.
Yes, I agree.
And that's because they think you're a real contender. What if you're a buyer that doesn't look like a real contender that is just like, no, we're just making this move for later down the road?
And like, honestly, I think that's one of the things that paid off for the Rangers with Cole Hamels.
Yes.
Because they were not so much like, we need to have him right now so we can win the World Series, as they were, hey, that's going to help. So you still have 25 games until the draft. Well, 24, because the last one would be after the trade deadline. You have 24 games until the trade deadline. I am not saying that this is going to happen by any stretch of the imagination, but it wouldn't be crazy if they went 16-8, right?
Nope.
Like, you could do that.
I could absolutely see this team doing it.
And that would put you at 57-52, and that would put you in a wild card spot. Most likely, that would put you in a wild card spot. Now, all of a sudden, you've gone from maybe we should punt on this season to, I just saw 2 years ago, if you go into the playoffs, even struggling, but make the wild card, you could go win the World Series. So I think that will change a lot of people's perspectives. But let's go back to the idea that you do want to punt on the season. How much does this suck about the Tyler Mahle injury? He's not going to be back until the trade deadline. So that means he's not coming back within the next month. And so if you did want to punt on the season, that is a viable candidate to be traded and pick up something, whether you think that's a potential bullpen piece down the road, even a mid-level prospect. It was going to get you an asset. So
yeah,
it was going to bring you something. But now that's not going to be a viable option because I don't even think you're going to have the perfect idea of when he's going to be back even then. They said they're going to shut him down for a few weeks. So he's not even going to throw for a few weeks. So you're telling me we get to be 7 or 8 days before the trade deadline and a team calls about Tyler Mahle and your answer is, we're about to start letting him throw off a flat ground again. That team is not going to trade for him.
Yeah, not at all.
And so it hurts from a competitive perspective. It hurts from a he was having a great season perspective, and it hurts from he's no longer a viable tradable
commodity.
Item. Commodity, that's the word.
Hey, man, you do that for me all the time. Melissa Milano. You just got it earlier. Is it a problem? What if some of your best pitchers injured at this time is a benefit because nobody's asking for them? And in these trade conversations, hey, look, do you really want a guy that we're going to have throw off of a flat ground in 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Or do you want this other pitcher that we have in our system?
Right.
I don't know if that's a reality, but when you're in the position the Rangers are in, I wonder if, hey, we can keep these things while not even having to think about them in negotiation because they are injured at the moment or, you know, down a little bit. I don't know. Maybe that is just a theory on this. I'm not saying that was all planned out by Chris Young.
No.
Because you have to, and if you're doing that, you have to almost be able to guarantee that the second half you go on a tear that nobody's ever seen before.
And look, as much as
you do look like a wounded animal, yes, that can strike at any moment.
And as much as I hope that happens, you just have not really gotten a whole lot of information that leads you to believe that will be the case. Look, going all the way back to the beginning of the show when Chris Young said to G-Bag yesterday, show me that I should do something for the team.
Yeah.
All right. There's been a whole lot of movings and shakings across hockey, basketball, and believe it or not, I have a boxing update about Jake Paul. And you tell me what you think is going to happen next, okay? All right. You want to start with NBA, hockey, or boxing?
Boxing.
All right.
Just because I know it ticks a lot of people off when we talk about this guy.
Look, I don't agree with this. I was not consulted in the rankings whatsoever. The World Boxing Association has ranked Jake Paul as their number 14 fighter in the cruiserweight division after his knockout of no longer good at fighting Julio Cesar Chavez. So now that he's in their top 15, guess what that means? He is eligible for a title shot against Gilberto Ramirez. Now you tell me if you think this sounds right. Jake Paul is number 14. You know who number 15 is? Craig Parker, he's an American fighter who's 20-0 with 20 knockouts and most recently fought at heavyweight and won by knockout. But he's 15,
mm-hmm.
and Jake Paul is 14. All right. So you tell me what you think is most likely to happen. Gilberto Ramirez fights some top five ranked contender that people who love boxing are pumped about. And it was like, oh yeah, that should be a good fight. Or do you think that Gilberto Ramirez might fight Jake Paul as Jake Paul fights for an actual world title in something that I can almost guarantee you will do 8 to 10 times the buy rate than the actual world title fight that would happen otherwise?
Will that give him, bump him up? Gilberto?
I think it could.
Because if you beat the guy that's 14, right?
Yeah.
And he's ahead of you, right?
I'm sorry. If I said Jake Paul knocked out Chavez, he beat Chavez.
Okay. If you're 15.
Yep.
You beat the guy that's 14 now.
Right.
That should level you up, right? That should get you at least a 13.
Okay.
Ish.
Theoretically.
Like an idea. Or back to 14.
But I think what's much more likely is if the champion fought Jake Paul. Look, if you're the champion.
Yeah.
Gilberto Ramirez, I think that first of all, you like this idea because you probably think it's easier competition. Secondly, you're going to make a crap ton more money than you would have otherwise. And hopefully a lot of people tune into the pay-per-view, see you, like you, and now you become a viable pay-per-view draw.
And you get the chance to put that dude back in his place, right? Like you get the chance to knock him down, put him, hey, look, this is the reason I'm the champion because I'm that boxer. WBA recognizes it, though. They recognize how this helps all the top 15 money-wise and their association.
Yes. If you want.
Because the one argument with Jake Paul is he doesn't fight anybody that's real. But now if he's in this top 14, does he have to?
Look, and if you can make that argument, or you can argue that this was a bought and paid for deal to get Jake Paul in the top 15, so technically he could get a title shot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that version.
Yeah. But look, I'm interested to see what's going to happen. Now, Paige Beckers, who we have already had on the show this season, she is going to be an all-star starter.
Congratulations. This is awesome. And beyond that, the fact that she's the only rookie all-star starter.
Yes.
That's awesome.
She's the sixth number one pick in the history of the league to start the all-star game, including Caitlin Clark just last year. But she has had an incredible start to the season, even if the Wings haven't had an incredible start, although they have looked significantly better in the last couple of weeks than they did before. Now, you want to bounce back over to the NBA. The Denver Nuggets have been wheeling and a dealing. They traded Michael Porter Jr. and a first-round pick to the Nets for Cam Johnson, which freed up an incredible amount of money for them, which allowed them to bring back Bruce Brown, who was part of their championship team. So the Nuggets, no doubt, they saw that, you know what, maybe we don't need a total management group, but we need to have the ability to make some moves. And then they went ahead and traded for Jonas Valanciunas from the Kings. So they traded Dario Saric for Valanciunas, and so they made that move as well. So the Nuggets have been busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, that is impressive on their part. But Kevin, do you feel like the Nuggets are a better team than the Mavericks right now? I think that they got that player.
So, but I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
Because they have their own health concerns, and I know dealing off Michael Porter Jr. gets rid of one of those, but you still have other players that have injury problems on that team. So that, man, that's a good question.
Yeah, and I don't know completely what this Mavericks team will be. I have a vision, like Nico, but my vision, like, it looks very different than I'm betting his, because mine has Luka in it still. But I think that this team can be very good.
Sure.
I just don't know that offensively they're going to be one of those that sets records.
It's much more likely that Denver is a good team than Dallas, okay, is what I would say.
I gotcha.
But that's not to say that Dallas doesn't have a higher ceiling. I just think Denver is much more likely to be, like, at least a good team. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 4 years, $285 million extension right there. And then Jaren Jackson, he signed a five-year, $240 million extension with the Grizzlies, and former Dallas Maverick Dorian Finney-Smith got a four-year, $53 million deal with the Rockets. And I meant to mention this as well, because at least it had come up. Dennis Schroeder, or Schroeder if you're not fancy, agreed to a three-year, $45 million deal with the Kings. I think we all knew once you made the move for D'Angelo yesterday that he wasn't coming here, but I just wanted to throw it out there because that's another name that had been linked up with the Mavs.
Did you mention Corey Perry?
No.
One-year deal with the Los Angeles Kings, so we don't have to worry about Edmonton anymore, fellas. They're not in our way now that Corey Perry's gone.
They are still in the Western Conference, if that.
But we don't have to worry about them because they don't have Corey Perry.
That is true.
I mean, sure, they have Draisaitl and McDavid.
Literally the best player
Hyman,
in the world.
Kane, all those other guys.
It kind of sounds like you're worried.
I am a little worried.
Okay.
Good luck, Stars.
Thank you for admitting that you're worried. But we got a new head coach today. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
This pitch is rocketed deep out into right field. Adolis goes back. It's over his head. Hits off the top of the wall. Holiday scores, Laureano scores, the throw into second, bounces away from Seager. No play at second, Henderson is safe. Two more are in for the Orioles. They lead it 10-6.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Hagee. How are you?
We're doing great, and that's thanks in large part to you guys. Not only did you participate in the action movie bracket, you also had the interview with Chris Young yesterday, and I thought he gave a very measured and well-thought-out answer about the prospects going into the trade deadline, but also crushed all of our hearts talking about Tyler Mahle not going to be back for at least another month, and that feels on the conservative end of the estimates. Did y'all have any other big takeaways from CY yesterday?
I mean, I think you nailed it when I tried to sell him on the idea that, hey, your pitching is so great that it should convince the front office and ownership that, you know, they deserve to be invested in. Like, if you had a great offense and your pitching was holding you down, you'd say, hey, we just need some pitchers. Why can't the opposite be true about hitters? And he said really what they're looking at is their overall place in the standings, and it's not good. So I think he took a big step towards preparing us yesterday for the eventuality that at best they're going to stand pat.
And it just had a little bit of a different vibe walking in there yesterday. It was like an antsy. Yeah. And then the way that game ended, I mean, he talked about the consistency.
Yeah.
Like, I need to see that. And they've got a tough road trip coming up. Like, hey, they lost the first game against Baltimore last week. Maybe they go ahead and they still win 2 out of 3 in this series. Last night was one of those backbreaking, heartbreaking moments where it seemed like after the Elbombi homer, like, that's something. If you win this game now, can you catapult that? Now you can go ahead and go on one of those runs that he's hoping for.
Yeah.
You win 9 of 11, something like that. The way that they lost that game, you could kind of see the soul starting to leave the body when it came to when they started showing the dugout. I was like, oh no, could this be that backbreaking moment all they needed?
Which is unfortunate, but you know, the pressure, it bursts pipes, Hagee. And you know, I think this team is still in it, you know, but if they've lost confidence and belief and we're going to be down here over the next week and a half, you can get run right out of this race by the All-Star break in what, 14 days?
Yeah.
It could be over.
Which is also disappointing from the Tyler Mahle injury standpoint, because if that was going to happen, that's a tradable asset that one would think is no longer particularly tradable.
And talking to Jared yesterday, like, CY is, he doesn't do anything half-ass, right? So he's aggressive when it comes to buying. Would he then be aggressive when it comes to selling?
Yeah.
Does he look at maybe another team's looking and saying, hey, we really like Josh Young and the upside and the potential there. Hey, we still really like an Evan Carter. One of your, that you thought was going to be your young cornerstones.
Yeah.
That maybe the Rangers have done some soul searching and reflecting and think to themselves, I don't know if that player is really ever going to be better than the version of 2023 that we saw when they went on a run. So can I go ahead and pair one of those with an Adolis Garcia or name your other player to try and get back a better return than just flipping, say, if they moved Adolis and now you're getting, what, a bullpen piece or just, you know, a small asset for the future?
What are y'all's takes on the moves of the day from the Milwaukee Bucks as... Go ahead.
I really did have a question about Damian Lillard as Gavin Dawson was connected to the Portland Trailblazers.
Sure.
Your thought, he was one of my favorite players. I just love watching him big time moments.
Yeah, it was great.
So for people that missed it, Miles Turner signs with the Bucks to facilitate that stretch provision on Lillard. They waive him. Go ahead.
Yeah, would he fit this team? Is it, I mean, and Kevin, as Kevin pointed out, he might be something later on in the season because coming back.
Yeah,
to that
I don't
injury.
Know if he's going to play this next year.
So, I imagine he'll be 35 years old next July. He's going to be in a prove it 1 year situation, I think, in the 2026-2027 season. I definitely don't want to sign him now and have him sitting on your books because coming back from that injury, it's what, 12 to 14 months? Maybe I think. It'll be interesting to see if he can be anything close to what he was coming off of that injury. You know, I think in a lot of big time playoff situations, you could see his lack of size, his lack of defense could really get picked on already when he was a younger man. And now, you know, I think he had an awesome career. And in other situations, like he could have been Steph Curry for Golden State. Damian Lillard could be a 4-time champion right now, but he was just on the wrong team for a decade.
Yeah,
that stinks.
It is a bummer, dude. It is a bummer. I think he's happy about it, though. He's pumped.
Oh, I could see that. And then you immediately get the news Giannis is upset, and you're like, Miles Turner's a good player, but like straight away, like one of the first things you see is Giannis posting up on Twitter, Instagram, and then Chris Haynes being like, yeah, he's upset.
I don't know what's going on here, man. This was his post, so I like it.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you guys also terrified about the Florida Panthers keeping pretty much everybody so they can just run it back and people took pay cuts to make it happen?
Yes, it's absolutely mind-boggling and frustrating. Like you're seeing other teams, the NHL, Mitch Marner now goes to Vegas. Yes. They give him a ton of money.
Cody Ceci
just went to the Kings. And like this, like I guess, you know, listening to your interview earlier with Robert, it was, he's right. You know, when you go ahead and you do the loophole with the long-term IR, like I guess you kind of figured the Stars weren't going to be able to keep everybody.
Yeah.
But Florida's got so many stars and they're able to keep all of them. And Jim Nill's sitting here with 3 straight General Manager of the Year awards. And I'm like, is this team going to get better at all? I don't know. We're going to talk with Greg Wyshynski at 4 o'clock and ask him about that. Like Jim Nill's awesome and he is super respected in the NHL and he is the most stable and consistent GM we've got here in the Metroplex. I don't want to take him for granted, but I think 3 straight GM of the years when you haven't made a single cup final appearance in those, you're starting to get a little overrated.
Look, plus the other thing I asked is how many coaches do you get to hire? We're all the way back around where Jim Nill gets to hire the coach that he fired when he started. Like, we have literally gone full circle right there. Don't you think most of the Stars' dependency on next year, a lot is that, hey, having Rantanen in there with the team for the offseason, for the training camp, for the full season, like, that's going to lead to better play.
It I feels hope so.
Like, yeah.
But, I mean, does it help your blue line? Does it, I mean, like, where, that's been your weakness every single run. What are we talking about at the end of the postseason?
Yep.
You weren't good enough defensively. You're not good enough in front of Jake Oettinger. And Otter can be really good at times, but I think every single goaltender, if you're going to have a leaky defense in front of him, they're going to struggle. And the Stars right now, they've got some young guys that you're hoping go ahead and progress, with Leon Bischel being one of them, right?
Sure.
And, of course, now you'll have Haskinen, who's not dealing with an injury, hopefully. But come on. I mean, that's still – you just lost Cody Ceci, who logged a ton of postseason minutes. You've got to find a way to get better there. And I don't think Nils Lundqvist, who – I think that's a miss from Jim Nill. And he's been too stubborn to admit that. He traded a first-round pick for a guy that's not good. Maybe I'm wrong about him, and maybe he finally clicks this year. I don't think that guy's any good.
Now – you texted a lot during the bracket. Yeah. How do you feel about the action hero bracket, how it played out with Rambo winning? Because last week you were able to steer the dipping sauce your way, all the way to the championship.
I think Lucius made a great point about John Wick that did have me rethinking that whole thing. Because I was kind of, I mean, Baba Yaga, your nickname's the Boogeyman.
Yeah.
Come on. You've got every single great trained assassin in the world that's coming after you. No one can seem to find you and kill you. Like, you guys were preaching the Rambo booby traps. Like, a lot of these guys are too smart. Yeah. They're going to sniff out the booby trap. But it's true. Like, what is the hero that is John Wick? Is he a hero? Not really. He's a hired paid assassin that goes and kills people for a living.
Right.
And then he's fighting for his dog. Yeah. So I think, because of that, I would give, in the final, if it's Rambo head-to-head, I think James Bond got a little bit of a short leash here.
You think Terminator got screwed, too,
But Terminator also is like a cheat code.
The robot.
Right? Like, yeah. Terminator would have advanced and should have advanced.
Yeah, nobody's beaten Terminator.
No.
Or Corey says you can turn on the sprinklers and you beat Terminator.
Turn on the sprinklers.
Okay, I'd count it with T-1000 then.
I've got an updated machine.
You know, just to provide a little bit further context from my perspective, like, the John Wick movie makers did him no justice. He's slow, right? He shouldn't be doing any kung fu, okay? And you need some cinematic tricks to make his pistol look faster. Like, it looks like he's kind of doing a bad Steven Seagal impression in slow motion while shooting people. There's nothing scary about how John Wick jumps off the TV screen or the movie screen. Wow. Nothing at all.
I will say he's all of us, though. Because if our dog died and our wife died, we'd be pretty upset.
Yeah,
we'd be wanting revenge.
Except
or
I'd
something.
Probably get hit by one of those bullets.
Yeah, quickly. I'd take one hit to the throat and I'd be done.
Maybe I'd take one guy out and then I'm dead.
Right? Throat shots are tough. If you want to dodge that many bullets on screen, you better be Neo. You're fully opened up in the Matrix doing crazy movie making stuff.
True.
Not just being slower than crap, but magically nobody shoots you. You're in a room with 20 people, they don't shoot you. You better be a freaking superhero fast man. Not just kind of like,
whoa.
Yeah, what is this?
Shot two guys right there, man. Just totally unbelievable. And I'm willing to suspend a lot of disbelief. Right. I love sci-fi stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you guys got coming up? I hope more of a response. But what do you guys get coming up on the program today?
More of that. Top 10.
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. We're going to have Hellman on at 3:20. That's the Rangers outfielder Hellman.
Not Dave.
Yeah. No, Hollywood Dave.
I got excited,
Hellman.
Dude. That was an amazing.
I'm still excited.
That was an amazing play on his part last night.
It was. He was badass.
Mr. Hustling, as Wolchuk said, Greg Wyshynski at 4.
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece Maker. Way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
They stopped the count, Kevin. About the Rambo and
what
Wick
are
thing.
You doing right now?